The time is 6 o'clock from Radio Ghana in Accra. Here's Mercy Sowa with the news. In the headlines, Parliament approves €6 million loan facility for countrywide solar-powered streetlight project. Policy think tank identifies political interference with FTC's chronic indebtedness. Official inauguration of University of Energy and Natural Resources scheduled for 3rd of next month. President Mahama appeals against skirt and blouse votes in upcoming elections. NPP maintains policy of equal and free access to SHS education still possible. And striking South African mine workers due to return to work today. Parliament has approved a €7.6 million loan facility to finance the provision of solar-powered streetlights across the country, presenting the report of the Joint Committees on Finance and Roads and Transport. The Vice Chairman of the Committee on Finance, Alfred Abayase, said the project will go a long way to reduce the spate of road accidents.
The committee noted that studies conducted by the Building and Road Research Institute indicated that nearly 40% of all traffic fatalities occurred during hours of darkness, and 80% of the nighttime fatalities occurred in road accidents with no street lights. The study showed that one of the major contributory factors to accidents on the Fankor Itawan Road was as a result of poor visibility.
Vice Chairman of the Committee of Finance in Parliament, Alfred Abayate. The Ministry of Works and Housing and Water Resources, it will consider all suggestions made by Parliament and the public regarding the housing unit it intends to put up for public sector workers. Measures will also be put in place to ensure value for money. The Managing Director of Ghana Water Company, Kweku Butri, told Radio Ghana that efforts will also be made to use local resources to reduce costs.
Ghana Water's core business is not the provision of houses. Yeah, we don't develop houses. But when we do projects, you would agree with me that if you have a treatment plant sitting somewhere in a remote location, you need to provide housing for people who work on those treatment plants to provide water for the good people of Ghana. So what we are doing is that fundamentally we need to provide decent housing for people who are living in such locations that most people will not even want to go near. Yet they have the critical task of providing water to our people. The point here is, in Parliament yesterday, certain issues were raised regarding the fact that the prices were high, and we have admitted to it that, well, okay, we would all work together and make sure that we negotiate, go through a process to do the best we can to have value for money. Parliament has requested that a value for money certificate be furnished them to ensure that nobody is cutting corners or nobody is inflating figures. So I think that for us, the consolation is there that we will be able to deliver the houses at a price that is decent and at a price that is acceptable to everybody. Besides, the figures there are just provisional, but unlike all others, it also includes furnishing. So we would interrogate it with Parliament, with the Value for Money Audit, which is an independent group, crown agent, to deal with the subject matter. Ms. Anka, I would take advantage to invite you and all the people in the media fraternity to come along with us to see a similar thing we have done in Kong here. Indeed, I throw out the request to everybody who is prepared to come along tomorrow to go and see it. At least that model will furnish us when we have done the as-built cost. Will furnish us a perfect guide as to what we should do to save money for the project.
What time will you want to send the newsman there to?
And I'm more than prepared to go with you, come along with the, all the newsmen, come along with your cameras, the TV cameras, everything, and let us go and see it. And then when we are done, we'll give you the as-built cost, now that it is finished, to be able to say that in relative terms, this is the cost here and the cost that can be. And whatever savings that we can make, we will do everything to make savings. We are not impervious to advice from the public, nor do we disrespect the opinion of the Honorable House. We'll take on board everything that they suggested and make sure that these issues are properly addressed.
Mr. Butri, what the House said yesterday was that the price was a bit high. Can you just break a bit? Is it a unit? When you talk of a unit house, is it two bedroom? Is it single bedroom? Is it three bedroom? No, what are you talking about?
It's a two bedroom house with a living room. Normally when we talk about this, we don't mention the living room. With kitchen, family area, a study, as well as two toilets, including a guest toilet. Again, once we have a model which has been developed and we can tease out the as-built cost, we will be able to share that information with Parliament and with the public to know that.
Kweku Botri, Managing Director of Ghana Water Company on cost of housing in the country, talking to George Ankra. The Executive Director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kuju, has asked for the outright sale of the State Transport Corporation, STC, in order to save the public purse. He said the chronic indebtedness of the corporation is due to bad management and political interference. He told Radio Ghana's Agatha Asamoa that government cannot continue to spend public funds on non-performing organizations.
The problem with STC, unfortunately, has just been bad management. I do not understand why it is the case that any time something as belonging to the public gets managed by members of the public, they tend not to manage it well. But I suspect that there's something that happens, is an economic phenomenon, if not political, called the tragedy of the commons, something that belongs to everybody. Nobody tends to take care of it. But if it belongs to you, you tend to take care of it well. I think STC should be sold. Government should stop spending too much money, wasting pensioners' money into trying to muddle, coddle it, make it look like a baby. That's not the thing. Private people are doing well. I mean, who talks about STC these days, right? They are not on time. You go there, you spend time, you go and sit, nothing happens. Either they get the advisors are broken down, there's no service, they don't even pay their workers well. What are we really holding on to? I mean, the days of holding on to national champions are all over. People take what? We have these interesting buses, air conditioning, there's even video, people watch, there's amusement. The management style for these private entities clearly point to you that, look, the state STC can't be safe. I don't remember the last time I took STC because I don't want to go there and go and switch an hour or two waiting for a bus. But I must admit, though, that they are very good drivers. Unfortunately, they never took care of them well, which is why they are in a sorry state. I think we should forget about the discussion, really. Sell the thing off and give it to a private person. You manage it well.
Executive Director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kuju. The Public Relations Officer of STC, Cyrus DeGraff Johnson, says the workers of the corporation have not been paid for the past 3 months. This, he noted, has lowered the morale of the workers to put up their best. He, however, indicated that management is in talks with the sector minister to chart the way forward. He spoke to Agatha Asamoa on Radio Ghana's Behind the News.
In an environment where you have not been paid for 3 months, what kind of morale would you have towards work? We just want the government to come out straight ahead and tell us what is happening. I mean, for God's sake, they own 20%, SNCC owes 80%, and that's like almost government in all terms. So please come out, tell us what is the plan. We have 557 workers at the moment, and their fate is in the hands of the government. I don't think that the government will sit down and want this company to collapse because of the inefficiency or too much bureaucracy regarding whatever plans we presented to them at how to keep us afloat for the next few months as they take their decision. We need some action. We need some word from the government.
Public Relations Officer of STC, Cyrus DeGraff Johnson. The Supreme Court has dismissed an application restraining Parliament from considering the CI 78 for the creation of 45 new constituencies. The court also dismissed a second relief seeking an order for the Electoral Commission to specify modalities for the demarcation of constituencies before publication. Justice Julius Ansah, who heard the application, observed in his ruling that injunctions should not be used to interfere with the work of Parliament, which is working in accordance with provisions of the Constitution. A report by Beatrice Opong and Amasewa Bidiakon.
Following the laying of the CI-78 before Parliament, a private citizen, Ransford Fans, filed a suit at the Supreme Court to restrain Parliament from further considering the constitutional instrument pending the outcome of a substantive suit. Mr. Fans in July filed the substantive suit to prevent the EC from going ahead with the planned demarcation of 45 new constituencies. Justice Ansah, in dismissing the application, said Parliament should be free from judicial interference, adding that the EC is also exercising its mandatory function of creating constituencies and must therefore not be restrained from performing its function. He indicated that whether or not the CI-78 was properly laid before Parliament will be determined in the substantive case. Justice Ansah said the plaintiff will not suffer irreparable damage should he win the substantive case, which comes off on the 4th of next month. The judge, however, noted that if the injunction is granted and the EC wins its case in the substantive matter, the country will suffer as the whole electioneering will be affected. Lead counsel for the plaintiff, Joe Gatti, said the Supreme Court has given its ruling and he respects the decision. He however stated that the legal team is prepared for the substantive matter.
There's nothing to say again. My conviction is not important. What is important is that the judge has ruled. And what is important is that I make no comment. I don't undermine the administration of justice. We shall come on October 4th, as I said. The judge has ruled. It's the Supreme Court. They're sitting at the Supreme Court. I'll be undermining the rule of law. I'll be undermining justice as a whole. I'll be undermining the job I do every day. I'll be undermining democracy. That is their job. I did my job. My job was to argue. I argued. They have a job. Their job is to give a decision. And I have no comment. The matter itself is going to be heard on October 4th. October 4th is around the corner. So I'll wait till October 4th.
The AG and member of the defense team, Benjamin Kumbo, declined to comment on the ruling but explained his decision to personally represent the state.
As an attorney general, I do not see it as a personal arrangement. I have been involved in a number of the constitutional cases right from the creation of districts up to this constitutional matter. And at the level of the Supreme Court, I think it is useful as the head of the bar to once in a while also appear and assist them determine very significant legal questions of this nature. Well, I cannot wait for us to get to that bridge. We'll cross it when we get there.
Attorney General Benjamin Kumbo ending that report. The chairman of the Committee on Local Government in Parliament, Dominic Azuma, says the ruling of the Supreme Court that Parliament can't sit on CI 78 is a plus for the strengthening of constitutional institutions. He says the ruling is testimony to the fact that the work of independent bodies need not be interfered with. He spoke to Augustus Akwe.
Obama said when he came to Ghana that we must strengthen institutions, not personalities. Afarijan is an individual, and he's just the chairman of the commission. It's the commissioner of the institution we are respecting, not Afarijan. And I think that was one of the fundamental mistakes. So yes, let me say that today's decision is a very strong plus in our democracy. It gives room for us to further strengthen the institutions of state, parliament, SRAJ, and all that. I think that we must give due recognition to those institutions. And again, it warns us to be careful not to interfere in properly constituted independent bodies, trying to prevent them from their operations.
So now you see, Parliament has a clear way to...
Sure, right away, except any other thing, we will continue to sit, and we are waiting for the report from the social legislation. Parliament will take a decision. The social legislation is only a committee. They can only recommend to the House to annul or to pass. They themselves cannot do anything about it.
Mr. Azuma also noted that the verdict of the court will set the mind of the nation at rest with regard to the creation of the new constituencies. This is because the wranglings over the issue have caused anxiety among many. The leadership of the Conservative Alliance Network, CAN, and the Alliance for Accountable Governance, AFAG, will hold a joint demonstration next week against the Electoral Commission, EC. The demonstration, dubbed Red Revolution Demo, was decided on after the groups had carefully assessed the views of the public on the creation of the new constituencies by the EC. This is contained in a statement issued in Accra yesterday and copied to the media. We bring you the details.
In the statement, CAN and AFAG noted that despite protests from the trade unions, the clergy, civil society, student groups and many other well-meaning organizations against the creation of the 45 constituencies at this time, the EC has decided to go ahead with it. The statement insists that the period for the creation is not appropriate. It noted that political parties have a short period to organize a democratic process to elect officers and parliamentary candidates for these new constituencies. The group stated that they do not know why the commission is bent on creating the new constituencies. The statement also noted that it is legal for the commission to place on its website that the country has 275 constituencies, whereas the current number of existing constituencies is actually 230. According to the statement, it is presumptuous, immature, and disturbing that such a reputable body as the EC would engage in such illegality at this crucial moment when elections are fast approaching.
That was a news desk report. The news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Parliament approves €6 million loan facility for countrywide solar-powered streetlight project. Policy think tank identifies political interferences with STC's chronic indebtedness. official inauguration of University of Energy and Natural Resources scheduled for 3rd of next month. President Mahama appeals against skirt and blouse votes in upcoming elections. NPP maintains policy of equal and free access to SHS education still possible and striking South African mine workers due to return to work today. Do stay with us. Welcome back. President John Dramani Mahama has appealed to the electorate in the Kolekwezi constituency not to vote skirt and blouse in the upcoming elections. He noted that the executive and legislature work hand in hand, and as they vote for him, they should also vote for all aspiring members of parliament of the NDC. President Mahama made the appeal on a Greater Accra campaign tour of the constituency. He also used the occasion to introduce the aspiring MP for the constituency, Niyama Ashiti. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
Kolekwezi is historically known as the Castle Constituency because it is the land on which the seat of government is situated and currently playing host to the mortal remains of late President John Evans Atta Mills. As a tenant on the land, President Mahama had to pay homage to the chiefs of Osu, Ni Kinkadoona and Ni Note Owo before embarking on the campaign tour of the constituency. Upon arrival at the palace of Ni Kinkadoona, President Mahama was nearly carried shoulder high by the enthusiastic crowd, but for the intervention of the security personnel, Ni Kinkadoona was grateful for the visit. He prayed for strength for the president so that he continues with the good work already started. President Mahama assured the crowd that a vote for the NDC means massive development for the people of Greater Accra and the country as a whole.
I'm very happy to be here with you. Many people do not know this, but I'm not a visitor here. I grew up at the Osu Railway Estate, and so I'm very familiar with this area. The campaign has begun, and I'm here to thank you for the support during the funeral of the late president, and to solicit your vote come December. Not only that, but also to ask you to vote for the aspiring MP, Ni Ama Ashiti. If you vote for me alone, I cannot do the work. I need the support of the Member of Parliament too. So please, a vote for me and a vote for Ni Ama Ashiti. A chance for the NDC will see more development for the region.
For the Chief's Palace, the convoy passed through the Osu Oxford Street, where he got off his vehicle to interact with traders, shop owners and passers-by. With his pleasant personality, President Mahama seemed to excite everyone as he cheered him on with the Be Keke mantra. The president's convoy made little stops at Atabaka and Odona, where he addressed the market women. One of the major concerns raised by the market team was the building of more sheds for the market. President Mahama promised that more sheds will be provided for all markets in the metropolis as part of government's agenda to transform the market into a modern one.
I want to say thank you to all of you. As you all know what happened 2 months ago about the departure of our father, everyone came to help, especially market women. He purchased and sold the funeral cloth and participated in the funeral. They did what was required of them. It is a fact that campaigning has begun. But firstly, I want to thank you all. You have done very well. I want to order you, Mayor of Accra. Please come and work on their sheds. You are within the Kolekwezi constituency and you already have an MP. It is the same person who is contesting on the party's ticket. I want to introduce him to you as tradition demands. I know that by the grace of God, he will win the seat, while the NDP will also win the presidential race. You must make this election Zuda when you vote for me. Vote for your MP, Ni Ama Ashiti. Vote.
President Mahama ended his tour at Tudu, where he again asked the people to vote massively for the NDC to enable it to pursue the Better Ghana agenda, a legacy left behind by the beloved President John Atta Mills. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevo, Accra.
The New Patriotic Party NPP maintains that its free senior high school policy is intended to give all children access to education. The free education at the basic level will be redefined to strengthen the foundation for the SHS. Speaking on GTV's Maiden Political Program Face the Nation, The campaign manager of the party, Boakye Jaku, said the policy will put teachers first by providing bungalows and helping them to upgrade themselves.
Yes, there is a problem at the basic level. You must tackle that. But simultaneously, you cannot sit down and look at the dropout rate from our perspective. There is no way we can transform this country with an uneducated workforce. We are going to redefine what basic education is. It is no longer going to be junior high school. Our poor kids come out of junior high school without any employable skills. We throw almost 200,000 out of them on the streets every year. They haven't passed. At the center of our education policy is teacher first, because it is the quality of the teacher that determines the outcome of the child. If the teacher is not happy, there is no way he's going to be able to impart knowledge to your child. So we have a teacher first policy, which means that in the rural areas, for example, there is no sense in building a school when you are not simultaneously providing a place for the rural teacher to live. Salaries, retaining them, giving them the opportunity to improve their skills. So all of these things have been worked into the program you are looking. You get a good teacher, expand the infrastructure, involve parents in the education of their children, so that together we will live this good.
Mr. Jakun said the philosophy underpinning the free SHS education concept is to raise the standard of public education to the level of private schools.
As a government, our first port of call is public policy, and we will certainly make sure that public education comes up to the standard of private schools. We are not against private schools, we are for it. But as a public policy option, we ought to be able to say that, look, the majority of poor people are in the public sector, and if we are going to be able to do the balancing wheel, we ought to lift up public schools.
Answering questions on sustaining the free SHS program, Mr. Jaku said the NPP will promote prudent management of the country's resources and widen the tax net to include everybody. The University of Energy and Natural Resources, UENR, will be inaugurated on the 3rd of next month in Kinyai. This was announced by the Bunahafu Regional Minister, Kwajunya Meche Mafu, at the second meeting of the Regional Coordinating Council. The inauguration will also be used for the investiture of the Vice-Chancellor, Professor Esieria, as well as to matriculate the first batch of about 200 students for the 2012-13 academic year. Correspondent Emmanuel Menta uploaded a report that the three ceremonies will set the tone for the official takeoff of the university.
The president of the Bunahafu Regional House of Chiefs, Osanhini Kweku Atachi, and his vice, Nemayo Akabrase, were also at the meeting to give traditional support to the event. The meeting agreed to recommend to the University Council to name the University of Energy and Natural Resources after the late President John Ibansata Mills. It was also of the view that the naming of the university after Professor Mills will serve as a befitting tribute to his memory in respect of his innovative and dynamic leadership, which sought the birth of the first ever public university for the region. The regional minister, Mr. Nyamicha Mafu, expressed the hope that there will be continued support to the university to deliver on its mandate of training the youth to meet demands of quality human resources requirements in managing the country's energy and natural resources. He used the opportunity to thank the chiefs and people of Bunahafu for their contribution towards socio-economic advancement of the region. Mr. Nyamicha Mafu commented on the National Festival of Art and Culture 2012 to be held in the Bunahafu and the need for the people to be because in their political engagement to ensure peaceful elections.
Emmanuel Mensa Bludo's report from Sunyai. The presidential candidate of the Progressive People's Party, Dr. Park Wisin Dum, says corruption remains a serious challenge for Ghana's socioeconomic development. According to him, research has showed that Ghana loses about 3 billion Ghana cedis annually due to corruption. He has therefore stressed his commitment to fight the canker by showing the way for all, particularly those within his government, to emulate. Dr. Ndum said this when he called on the Asantehene at the Menchia Palace as part of the campaign tour of the Ashanti region. Welcome back. Miners in South Africa are due to return to work at the Marikana Platinum Complex, which was the scene of violent protests in which 44 people died. Striking miners reached an agreement with owners Lonmin yesterday and will see their salaries rise up to 22%. Lonmin is hoping to recover some of the big losses it incurred during the six-week stoppage. The strikes have spread to other mines in South Africa, one of the world's biggest producers of precious metals. Burmese opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi has finally received the U.S. Congressional Gold Medal she was awarded under house arrest in 2008. Aung San Suu Kyi described it as one of the most moving days of her life. He also met President Obama at the White House shortly after the U.S. Treasury said it had lifted sanctions on Burma's President Thein Sein. Sanctions on Burma have been loosened since the new government began enacting democratic reforms last year. To end the news, the main points again. Parliament has approved a 7.6 million euro loan facility to finance the provision of solar-powered streetlights across the country. The vice chairman of the Committee on Finance, Alfred Bayate, said the project will go a long way to reduce the speed of road accidents. President John Dramani Mahama has appealed to the electorate in Kolekwezi constituency not to vote skirt and blouse in the upcoming elections. He noted that as they vote for him, they should also vote for all aspiring members of parliament of the NDC. The inauguration of the University of Energy and Natural Resources will be done on the 3rd of next month in Chinyang. It will also matriculate the first batch of about 200 students for the 2012-13 academic year. And striking South African mine workers will return to work at the Marikana Platinum Complex after reaching an agreement for salary increases with owners Lonin yesterday. The news was presented by Mercy Soa in Accra.